and I try not to be too tetchy. I think I've let most of it off today by not being in the chair all morning. So I'm possibly beaming in a good mood. But
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And by the way, somebody went down on Brighton Beach yesterday with a large, I don't know, it was a large dog, a Great Dane, and it trampled within that much of a nest of...
Dottles?
Not dottles, but something else equally lovely. And it's just... And they just... They parked their car by the sign saying, don't take your dogs onto this beach. And they were leaping all over Barnaby's Rock or whatever it is, which has nesting blue penguins in it. And we do have a problem. That's not yours. attendance. We'll note the attendance of staff.
I beg your pardon for interrupting. Could we get a resolution to accept the apologies?
Oh, you're darling. Can I accept the apologies for... And I try not to be too tetchy. I think I've let most of it off today by not being in the chair all morning. So I'm possibly beaming in a good mood. But
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And by the way, somebody went down on Brighton Beach yesterday with a large... I don't know, it was a large dog, a Great Dane, and it trampled within that much of a nest of...
Dottles?
Not dottles, but something else equally lovely. And it's just... And they just... They parked their car by the sign saying, don't take your dogs onto this beach. And they were leaping all over Barnaby's Rock or whatever it is, which has nesting blue penguins in it. And we do have a problem. That's not yours. attendance. We'll note the attendance of staff.
I beg your pardon for interrupting. Could we get a resolution to accept the apologies?
Oh, you're darling. Can I accept the apologies for Councillor Deacon? Can somebody move it?
Yes, please.
Yep. Kate, seconded. Kevin, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried.
Thank you.
Attendance, we've noted the staff with us. The confirmation of the agenda, we've got a late paper called Consider Establishment of Communications Working Party. I agree to accept it, because the working party met after we sent out the agenda. And secondly, it is an issue where we need some really strong communications in the work that we have ahead of us, particularly on water. So I've accepted it, but we'll need a motion to accept the late paper. So can I have a mover? Kate, seconded. Ooh. Carmen, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried.
Sorry. Could you give some words to that so as that the what turns up on the next agenda is the reason for it as well, because the reason is a necessary part of it.
Yes. I'll talk to that person there. All right. Okay. We're reminded about our conflict of interest. On that matter, when we come to the minutes of the last meeting, I noticed that we said this is a special meeting. We did this unanimously. And in actual fact, we did it unanimously because two people moved back from the table on perceived conflicts of interest. And I think unanimously is a bit difficult to describe that. So when we come to the minutes, I might ask to take that word out.
Madam Chair, I've got a conflict, item 9.1.
Okay.
So just a
thank you, love.
Cheers.
Chair, also declaring a conflict on item 9.4, as with the previous meeting.
Right.
And, intend to do the same with chair moved back from the table for voting.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank
you. And the same with you, Kate, or not?
Not sure. Yes, sorry.
Okay. So, dear Mr. Dixon, would you like to come forward to the table? This is our first time in this training, and Mr. Dixon, that we've ever had. If you grab a seat right at the end, you're in my firing line. I haven't warned you that I was a past school principal, so it comes to the fore.
You have to speak up.
I will. Don't worry. You've got 5 minutes to describe to us what your issue is, and then I'll ask councillors if they want to ask any clarifying questions. Is that correct, people? Is this how I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Beaut. Off you go.
Rabbits. You've just done a new pest management plan. Did you all sing Kumbaya at the end or run naked through the tulips? Because I haven't seen anything in it that looks like it's going to kill a rabbit. He's put in a good neighbour clause. Wow. It's been in legislation for over 20 years, almost 30 years. That's government legislation. You're just getting around to it now. Come on. When was the last time you put a compliance notice on Lynn's, Doc, any of the district councils, and in fact, yourselves? Middle management keep telling me we're working with them. I haven't seen any working going on. All I'm seeing is rabbits everywhere. Yes, I realise Lynn's has got bad ground, and Doc and all the rest of it. It can be addressed.
Second question, you mentioned rabbit boards and the possibility for maybe re-implementing rabbit boards.
Yep.
Do you think the skills are out there? Would councils be able to act, or council be able to access the skills if they were to look...
Train people. The skills aren't there. Train people.
Yeah, but the likes of yourself who have those skills, would you be available or others available to assist with that, to get those skills back, re-establish them again?
There's plenty of people that... Well, there's not plenty, but there's a few of us that would.
Right.
It's,
that's what we need.
Yeah. It's not hard. You can... School leavers. Take them out to a rifle range, see who can shoot. Right, if they can shoot and they're showing interest, right, let's start to work on them. Approach the trades board, whatever they're called. Say, we want this actually as a trade, because it should be. And that would actually weed out a lot of the drop kicks that we see up there that come up with the 22 and a spotlight, and they're going to raise Mary Hell, charge $20 an hour, make a mess, and then leave a few months later. Big problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last question, Carmen.
I just wanted to ask you, you talked about those that do the work, you know, they put the fences up, and you've got the neighbours that don't do anything. The neighbours that don't do anything, do they all live there, or have you got a lot of absentee people?
We've got a massive amount of absentee people.
No. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stephen, do you want to say one last thing, and then we'll have to move on to the rest of our agenda?
That's fine. I'm done.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right, well, listen. Okay, people, we're up to the confirmation of minutes. Whoops. And we're going to consider the approval of the minutes of both the 13th of November and the 27th of November as a true and accurate record. Is anybody like to move that? Carmen and a seconder? Andrew?
Sorry, I just would like to raise around that unanimous element.
Yep.
I
think that we should just take the word unanimous out.
And yes. Which minutes was that?
It was the 27th of November extraordinary meeting, I think. Let me just see if I can find it.
Donna White would have ever said that.
It's...
Okay. I think the minutes maybe should go further to identify that those two councils
were... It should have said that. Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't here, so...
Yep. We'll fix that up. Is that all right?
Chair, I think it actually should. It is a unanimous decision, but we should note that the
two abstentions.
That's quite important
that
because
there are two
it still is a unanimous decision.
Okay.
Two were removed because of perceived conflicts of interest, but we have made a unanimous decision.
Can't
Hillary,
I'm not sure whether if people are part of the quorum but aren't voting because they're out of it, then it is unanimous.
Exactly.
Just not sure about that. I think we can say that everybody voted for it, as opposed to, you know.
Two people withdrew from the voting because of conflict of interest.
Yes, I just don't know when you've called them in there as part of the quorum, whether it's a unanimous decision if they haven't.
Kate?
I think the minutes are absolutely fine in the context of what they say, except for where the division was called, it doesn't relate to only... the one matter that we put to the division, and it just doesn't read quite well when you get into the second vote. So it's not huge, but we did do the division on whether we had a iwi representation, and then all of the other ones were put after that.
No, this wasn't to do with that. Sorry, Liv.
Oh, sorry, I must be reading the wrong.
Yeah, this is to do with
the next meeting.
The next meeting on the 27th, and it was to do when you pulled back.
What page actually is it?
Oh, sorry. We just have to hang on a minute.
Sorry, I must be looking at the wrong number.
What was the item that it was discussing?
It was discussing... Oh, I'm sorry. Bonk.
Was it the RMA investigation?
Yeah.
That will be in your current agenda, page 20 is where it starts.
In our current agenda?
I thought we were doing 13th of November 1st.
No, no, we're doing them both together.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for 20, page 20.
If you just click here, you can put page 20 in there.
It's on the other side of the eco thing.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so the eco thing comes in the middle.
It's there.
In response to him, advised points, the meeting adjourned. This is when we get to the discussion. Note that the council, but now it doesn't actually say here.
I don't even see where it says unanimous. Just says
which is in the carried. Where does it say carried?
Just says carried.
It says carried.
Somewhere it said unanimous. Is that where it is? Okay. All right. Then we'll adjust it then. Okay. We'll amend it in the letter. We just had some clarity then. Okay. So we leave it as carried. Okay. Somebody moves. Somebody else seconded that we take those two meetings of the 13th of November and the 27th of November as a true and accurate record. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, carried. Now we move to actions. As there's no action on actions, isn't it? It's just noting. Mm-hmm. Does anybody want to raise any issue of the actions that are noted here? No, therefore I move that we go on to the chairperson's and the chief executive's report. When I come to the my report, you'll see what it's in there. We've actually been going flat tack on water. And I've had a number of meetings on transport. I was writing this as what was happening with the rain and the lakes and the Clutha. And I found this really interesting when Councillor Laws had raised an issue about communication, because at the last CDM meeting, we'd had in September a Tier 4 exercise in which they found, I think it was radio communications, went down and they couldn't actually communicate effectively. So we do have some major things. It's not just the Vodafone wire being taken out at the... whatever that river is that explodes. Rangitata. It wasn't just that. We also have some other issues about that, and that is actually being thought about very much at the moment. We've had some very good iwi meetings and a great meeting on eco funds. I did have a meeting with the Dr. Barry Law. Some of you may know him from the Polytech. Yeah. And he was raising with us something on sustainable education. He's going to come back to us. But at that stage, I talked to him about two youth forums a year to engage young people in our work. So that was my one. And do I move that we accept my report? Mm-hmm. All those in favour, please say aye. I don't need a seconder. I've moved from the chair. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Now we come to the Chief Executive's report. Do you want to talk to us or answer any questions?
I'll answer questions. I have nothing further to add, though.
I have to meet Extinction Rebellion with you.
I'm quite interested, Sarah, in the Otago CE forum around Three Waters.
Yes.
It seems, I don't know what you were covering, but it seems like we've got quite a bit of work to do around our Three Waters, especially as we come up to the new MPS.
Just drink some water.
Yes, so mostly we were talking about the new drinking water regulator, which is currently under establishment.
Is that going to happen, is it?
Yes, okay. So there's already a decision being made on that. And so that was most of the conversation. And in particular, one of the key issues around that was skill drain. So, you know, potentially having... water staff taken out of local government and ending up with the regulator instead, which doesn't necessarily help the situation as they're pretty difficult staff to get. I think the other part of the conversation was an Otago conversation, and that's just about whether we do some work around exploring how we deliver these services for Otago, and whether there's any opportunities with that.
I'm wondering around, particularly as we've, the flooding we have at the moment, around stormwater separation. There's a boil notice in Alexandra, mm-hmm. which I might have not got quite right and have been ill because of it. And I just wonder if this is time we had this discussion about separating stormwater and wastewater.
Yes, partly. The work that's been done on Three Waters by the government at the moment means that they've largely taken a drinking water, wastewater focus, and stormwater is to come sometime in the future. But stormwater separation, of course, is something that is really important for a number of reasons and may well come up through our water plan review. And stormwater treatment and also the regulation of stormwater is something that at times has not been done particularly well. Not necessarily saying here particularly, but just across New Zealand overall. So I do think that conversation is definitely a timely conversation to have. And certainly we have now tasked the water managers for the region with going away and meeting together and having some further discussion on what the issues might be for Otago and how we might progress them.
Any other questions? Yes, Carmen.
Just building on from what Councillor Forbes said for you, Mrs Gardner, do we have any indication or do we know within Otago of all the cities and the small communities how many there are that still have infiltration of stormwater going into sewer in residential towns?
Not off the top of my head, no, and right. Possibly not in full detail, but certainly I think one of the things that we are going to have to help the regulator with is getting a handle on, for example, water supply for them,
yes.
And just how many there are and where they are.
Yes. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, I move from the chair just on this occasion that we receive the report from the Chief Executive Officer. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Okay, we now move to 9.1 on the agenda, which is the adoption of reference and delegations for committees and subcommittees for this triennium.
I'll just push my chair back, Madam Chair.
Right. Why, darling? Is this because you're on the...
potentially reconfirming my membership.
Ag-research info me.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Any discussions, people? We've got all... Deb. Go for it.
I just wanted to say I think it's delighted that Councillor Noon has been given this opportunity for Invermay and I endorse it wholly.
Good. Kate?
I'm just moving or seconding if that's what Councillor Hope is doing. Are you moving it?
Yes, if that's fine. Thank you.
Clear what you're moving?
On page 31 of 108, that Council receives the report, adopts
it. And reconfirms and notes.
Yeah. Yes.
People happy with that? Yeah. Michael?
There seems to be a contradiction on pages 48 and 51. It relates to mana to mana. It's got down on page 48, appointments as representatives of Council, Council Chairperson and Council Deputy Chairperson. And then on page 51, iwi partnership, Michael Deeker and Marianne Hobbs.
Right.
And it says includes mana to mana.
That's me, because I really began to wonder how many of these committees there were. Because could you clarify for me, is there mana to mana and is there iwi relationships?
Yes. So there's Turupatayo, which is...
That's all the... Councils.
All of the councils.
And all of the HUP.
And all of the...
Runaka.
Runaka.
Yep.
And then there's mana to mana. And then there's...
So what is mana to mana?
So mana to mana has traditionally been where matters of issues of partnership come up.
Yep.
And traditionally there's been about four councillors that sit on that. So you could potentially have all four. But then I think as a portfolio, you have Michael Deeker and yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Which would just mean, you could just add Michael Deaker to the...
I've got Michael Deaker, Michael Laws and myself.
Yes.
I've got three.
Yes.
So you could add a fourth.
Councillor Hope had added that as... I thought you had added that as what's the one you wanted to do.
It said other councillors to be appointed. Would you want to be appointed and on that? You don't have to be.
I thought you... Sorry.
You would be Gretchen. Gretchen would be very happy to be. So that would bring us up to four. Mana to Mana. On the other one, which was on portfolio responsibilities, that's me. Sorry, Hilary.
Just on page 36.
I can't see the pages at the moment.
We've just transferred that the chair is to be independent, which we decided we weren't going to do. I mean, we don't know whether we're going to do.
Sorry, darling, are you talking about... Audit and risk. It's an independent chair, and you decided that you were going to chair it and that you would have an independent risk.
No, we haven't decided who, but what has been decided in the papers that go behind that structure is that there would be an independent person that we would choose, and they wouldn't necessarily be the chair.
And have we written that into these... Into
you have written into the audit and risk... terms of reference. But
have
you just
we?
Haven't it hasn't been transferred into page 36.
Okay, I'm looking at the audit and risk subcommittee and where it says
independent chair needs to become independent member.
Where does it say that?
On page 36, underneath
in the box.
Oh, I've got that. I'm looking at the actual terms of reference of the actual committee,
right.
Which are on page 47, 46.
Which says chair, the subcommittee will appoint one of its members as chair.
Okay.
And then it says Hilary, Andrew, Kate, Kevin, and an independent member.
Okay. So therefore,
so
we need to change the box.
Yes, the box needs to be changed to
independent
match.
Member.
And the box is in the beginning of that book?
Yes,
that
it is.
Okay.
Page 36.
Yeah. Okay, people.
Can I suggest then?
Yes.
That you also put a note in the bottom of that box that the chair is to be decided from the four members.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything else? So we've actually fixed up the Mana to Mana and the iwi liaison.
Yes.
And we've fixed up audit and risk subcommittee. Anything else?
Page 49.
Page 49.
Freshwater management units and Rohe liaison list.
Yes.
Remember you had some dates?
Yes, I did.
I think that would be useful to add into there.
We will do so.
Amanda
actually knows where those dates are. I can't pull them out of my head at the moment.
Madam Chair, just on that one again, given the explanation we had this morning, and this is your initiative that you've developed
yes,
with the councillors, and that we're in public meeting, could we have your explanation of your expectations of councillors and also community's expectation of what you've done.
Of councillors. Absolutely. Good point, Gary. My expectation of councillors in this liaison role is that we're in liaison as governors, not as scientists, not as the actual planners with that expertise. So we are there to listen and to represent those ideas, you know, and if you do understand more than I might understand, and you'll notice I'm not there, more than I might understand, then yes, you can engage and argue. But you are there to represent people when we have discussions on planned water here, so that we have someone of one of us who actually knows about that FMU/Rohe. Okay? Mm-hmm. Does that give a clear explanation? Thank you, dear.
I'm getting a view, though, if I can wait. So we're a conduit from the community to the council.
Yeah, but you won't be the only conduit.
No, but are we?
No, you're not the only conduit, because I would imagine that people will maybe making their representations on plans in the normal way that you do with plans. You wouldn't be using you only.
No,
but
no,
you
no.
will have an informed member around the table on your particular catchment. FMU, Rohe.
But I'm also...
All right, Kate, then Gretchen.
Thank you. I think the question was raised last Friday when we had a meeting, and just for clarity, the Tomahaka and the Waipahi, they are seen as part of the Clutha, or are they West Otago and need to be added in? That is a question. Because I think that they do flow into the Clutha, but in some ways they are distinct from the Clutha. Well, I think they think themselves as being distinct from the Clutha.
So this was Catlins versus Clutha versus
West Otago.
West Otago Tairi.
These are FMUs. They're all encompassing. Yes. That particular river will be in one of these FMUs, and I assume it's the Lower Clutha.
All right.
It is the Clutha.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted that clarity because it was a question we had on Friday.
Anything else? Yes. Sorry, Gretchen.
No, that's fine. Just talking about our roles in terms of portfolios as well, and I imagine this would be the case and that everyone would be doing this, but in taking on that role, we'd need to be aware that we were representing all community on that issue. It might be something that might be worth touching on as well, so that it's important as a council that we're not advocating, I suppose, for whatever it is. Yeah, I'm not just talking about the FMUs, I'm talking about all of our portfolios. That wouldn't be what we would be doing. We would be filtering all different views and channeling it back so that we can get a wide range of issues in the community. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Agree, Gretchen. And I sort of said that quite strongly when it came to the portfolios. But for an example, because I'm trying to get my head around things completely, and when I went to the Manuhirakia reference group, I noticed there was a group in there called COES, and then they contacted me. So I thought, I'm going out to them as much as I go out to farmers and irrigators. I'm going out to them to listen to their view because I need to have a picture of
the whole
thing.
Can I?
Oh, sorry, and I'll make one other comment. Many of them don't have money to represent themselves. That's the other thing. There's a thing about natural justice in this.
Can we get a map of those, Rohe? Because at the moment there's confusion. I don't know.
There is a map.
There is a map. It's in the induction material.
Can we put that into here so that we know?
We'll get it. It's in there somewhere.
I know.
I've seen a map. But if we're going to be publishing this as public, I think people want to know which Rohe they're in.
Okay, that's fabulous.
Okay.
Yep. Good. Anything else? Okay, two people moved this, and that was you, Carmen, and you, Kate. You moved the adoption of the terms of reference and delegations for committees. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Can we move then?
Madam Chair, I'm going to need to leave. I'm not feeling well.
Oh, no.
So
apologies. Sorry, love. I think we need to check out the water.
Yes, and I possibly won't see you tonight, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Look after yourself, please. Okay, 9.2 is adopting the amended meeting schedule for 2020. I'd have to say this drove me absolutely mad. Not your fault, people, but trying to coordinate my diary. Made me feel a bit ill coordinating my diary for all of 2020. Okay, anybody got any comments about this? Michael.
Pages 55, 56, we've got proposals to hold meetings in Queenstown, Wanaka or Oamaru and Belclutha.
That's right, yes.
I don't think we should be proposing. I think we should be saying that's where they're going to be.
I'm quite happy with that, except it'll be just, the only thing it'll be dependent upon is actually, I haven't had a conversation about rooms and where they're going to be. Okay, that's all right. It's fine with you. Yep. Okay. This is not just a proposal. They are going to happen in those places, except that we're probably going to have one on the top of, what's that pass that goes between Queenstown and Wanaka?
Crown Range.
Crown Range. Because it says Queenstown or Wanaka, so I suggest we meet in the parking place at the top of Crown Range. Sorry. Okay. Somebody like to move this or second it?
Madam Chair.
Yes, dear.
Just a query in relation to the meeting.
Brian, could you move your sign so that I stop calling you dear and I call you Brian?
I was just starting to get used to you calling me dear. The meetings over the Christmas break, or maybe not a Christmas break, the one on the 7th of January. So I think that's quite clear. That's a two-hour workshop about the deemed permits.
Yes.
Yeah, and the process. And then there's another meeting on the 22nd prior to the council meeting, because previously it had been indicated our first meeting was the council meeting. Can I ask what's happening on the 22nd? What
strategy and planning meeting.
Yeah, no, I realise that, but what's... Is there a particular issue that's being discussed?
Oh, and the clearing committee is going to be... It's the first meeting of, you know, of our clearing committee.
I see.
That's a chair, one of that.
Is there a particular issues that are being discussed at that meeting?
At the strategy and planning?
Or is it just a standard meeting date as opposed to... Like, hasn't been called early or...?
No, it hasn't been. It's a standard meeting date. Sorry? Gwyneth?
I'm not sure. I'm sort of a standard meeting day, but I know that we think we're doing the omnibus workshop at the committee meeting. That's what we're proposing at MIRS on the 22nd. But
okay,
okay, yep. Thank you. That's all right. That's
thank you.
I think there's quite a lot of work. It's Andrew followed by Kevin.
Thanks, Madam Chair. My question was just around the meeting proposed at Cromwell on the 9th of the 12th, 2020, and just wondered, you know, we have our base in Alex, Central Otago District Council, and I just wondered the practicalities of trying to find somewhere else in Cromwell, and why wouldn't we just go to Alex where we've got a connection? That was my question.
You don't have a room in Alex?
No. We meet on the same day
as
the council. No.
We have our office within the... We've got our staff.
Yes. Normally have it at CODC.
Council.
Yes, I understand.
That's the council meeting.
I've got two people going and none of us can hear anything.
Well, I think what we could do is bracket it because we haven't made any arrangements.
So it's Cromwell / Alexandra. We'll have to do that one there. Thank you, dear. And the next person was, and I've just... Kevin.
Arthur.
And then Hilary.
The 22nd will also be the first of the clearing committees where we will have the leadership team giving us updates of where everything is, and that will give us the opportunity as well to come back to them with anything that we question from that. And also we'll have space at that time for the CE for any clarity around the long-term plans from questions that may have come up on the 7th as well. So it will be quite informative.
And any issues that have come out of our own portfolios?
Correct, yes.
Or always, right.
Yeah. So that would be a really good point to start that from. Jammed in, of course, with the omnibus.
Hilary.
I'm not sure whether now is the time, so just tell me if this isn't the time.
Yep.
I would really like it if, when we've got meetings, times and things, that we know what's going on at them where possible, because we talked about this earlier and somebody's just asked a question and what are we going to do on the 22nd. Quite clearly the staff have a plan on what we're going to do. I would really like to know as soon as that either they're set up in advance and we know, because we know that something has to be done on the 25th of June because it has to be done on the 17th of April because it has to be, you know, like the annual plan and stuff. But I would like every meeting, as soon as anyone knows what they have talked to you about and what's going to be in that meeting, so as we can know too, so as when we see that, we can look at March and...
Look up the papers. Yeah. Hilary, I can see out of my peripheral vision that Gwyneth is now talking to Amanda, and I've had whisperings in this ear which says this work is in process of being done. Mm-hmm. What it's lining up with is, as you could imagine, is the... program that's being led by Gwyneth in terms of all those different plans, be they... So she's just trying to actually manage the meetings and the issues on them as soon as we get them. Today was not too attractive because I was looking desperately around before for the piece of... You gave me a piece of paper, but for which committee was on at which stage and what was on those committees. And yes, we did get it in our papers beforehand, but I actually accept... When you want to do some good preparation, you want to really know what it is you're meeting on.
Also, we've had things, and I noticed, and I can't remember where it was in the papers I've been looking at recently, a response from Sarah about these things are happening, you know, like the carry over from earlier in a year or whatever, and some of them said something like, report coming back to a meeting early 2020 or something. I'd like to
see
actions. Report coming back to meeting 17th of February or whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can do that within reason, I think about 3 months ahead, and more vaguely as you get on because during the year. So that'd be fair enough to say, wouldn't you, about 3 months ahead, you will know, I'm looking at you people, you will know exactly where we're heading. But further out than that, I think you've got to allow for some flexibility.
But if there's something that says, like, a report will be presented to you from such and such, then either at that meeting...
It says
or,
it hasn't.
Or it will be in about 6 months, so we would expect to have it by June, whatever it is. Or
okay, I accept that. All right, anything... Oh, sorry, young man.
Happy to move meeting schedule as proposed.
He's. Did you move it?
I did.
And did you second it, Andrew?
I have, yes.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you, Honey Bunches. Now we're up to the ECHO Fund applications, which is 9.3. Just hang on a minute. Let me find the rigid thing. Okay. It's been moved by Kate, seconded by Michael Laws.
Yes.
Can I actually say that? Who was at that meeting with me? You were Kate and
Alexa.
It was a good, Kate, would you like to say? It was a reasonable meeting, wasn't it?
And Michael Deaker chaired it. It was a really good meeting and process. The applications in general were very good. There were some that were went up right up there. And I have to say that it was very clear the ones that the staff had been involved in and had been asked to be put into were of higher quality. And the fact that the staff are prepared to get involved in that is great. But, you know, it was really interesting and really well spread applications throughout the region.
Can I also make this point that the staff did say when people have put in a not too clear application, and there were a couple that were really quite woolly, they commit when they return the application to tell the people how to make a better application the next time, which I found quite useful. Okay, it's been moved and it's been seconded. Yes, Brian.
I'll move this cup so you get a good shot.
My question is whether there's any explanation around the Clutha Water Project. I'm very pleased that it's there. But the next two, the Otago skink and the gecko breeding enclosure, like... What was? Can I ask for, you know, what was the rationale? Like, we have pests in our pest plant. A gecko skink's part of that.
They're not pests.
Crikey.
Biodiversity issues. The ecosystem issues. These are protected species. They are threatened species.
They are very threatened. Sorry. I had to stand outside for those because jewel geckos come out of Orokanui and I had to absent myself for that discussion. So, Kate, if you'd like to say why it is you people accepted those applications.
I think it's really hard to get into the depth of all of them, partly because we had to read all of them and my mind isn't that clever at holding that. But we go through a rigorous process of scoring them, and actually we're not giving away all of the money because there's just some that didn't come up to a standard that we thought would... well enough that they could get their money. We're holding some over for the next time. But so there is quite a lot of work goes in scoring them to a point that you can have some surety. And these are the ones that came out that we were comfortable, had enough science behind them and were making a difference and talking to a strategy of sorts. So we ticked them off against the strategies as well. And these certainly made it.
And I just want to say to you, and I remember I am biased, but a jeweled gecko... And the Otago skink. The Otago skink is,
amazing.
You can help me out, Andrew, is in serious problems. Mm. Largely because cats like them. Okay. And they bring them into the houses. Okay, would somebody like to... Yes. Oh, sorry, Hilary.
Sorry, I had a question.
You did.
When we have this list, and I'm not second-guessing it, I mean, you guys have done it, but... It would be useful to know who the money was going to. Like, when it says project coordinator for the Hiraweka Harbour Cone property,
oh, okay.
on Otago Peninsula. That property belongs to the DCC, I think.
And it's managed by a trust.
Yes, so,
the trust
so yes. So what I'm saying is, if it's the trust, could we have who the money is going to when this list is provided? That would be good for me.
We'll make a note for that for next time, because we do this twice a year.
Yes, and okay. it's just for information.
Okay. So this to do this, we just noted this paper. Is that? I couldn't see how.
No, you're
sounds.
Approving
the. Oh, I am approving it. Sorry. That the council receives this report. No, it doesn't. Lost it again. Going back again. Bump. It receives a report. It approves the funding recommendations of the Echo Fund decision panel for the following applications to a value of $117,425.68 as per attached summary sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd like to move this?
It's been moved and seconded.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Carried. And against? Sorry. Carried. Okay, we're now up to 9.4, and this is the S24A Resource Management Act investigation. It's a follow-up to the Extraordinary Council meeting on the 27th of November. And we're receiving the report. We're approving the draft letter to the minister. We're agreeing that I sign it out, and we note that there will be 6 monthly reports. We're noting the attached community engagement plan, agreeing that a workshop on the water permits plan be held on 7th of January, and that workshop should be for councillors and staff only. So when I chair this, because I imagine there's going to be some discussion on some of these issues, we'll try and deal collectively issues at a time. So anyone got any problem with the letter or the contents of the letter?
Hi.
Hilary?
Just a very small thing. I think the letter says that we are meeting on the 7th of January.
Yes.
I don't think we are meeting if it's a workshop, are we? I would like it to be a public meeting, but I'm just saying I think it's a workshop, isn't it?
I don't know whether we call it a meeting. Yeah.
And we tell the minister that we're having a meeting, I think it's
okay.
a meeting.
If we added the words in meeting for a workshop or in a workshop.
No, just that we are having a workshop.
That we're having a workshop. All right.
Just would be more accurate.
Yep, so amended. Kate?
As I've said, I will be sitting back, but I'm asking, I think, a question that doesn't conflict me. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it hastily. The minister offered to Professor Skelton any assistance he could that he sought. And I'm not sure if that's an ongoing offer, but I'm wondering, is there any matters that you think that we should be asking in this letter or saying that we may need some assistance from them? I know that in Southland, MPI have just been given some money to do some good stuff in waterways, and actually a fund that assists that process as we transition through here, doing good stuff to address that, whether that's an option. I don't know what's happening in Otago, and staff may know or the chair may know some more than I do, but I don't know that there's any Otago help coming in like that. I'm just wondering if there is an opportunity.
We did put in this letter, and I'm just desperately trying to find it, something that talked about that we will need some help.
Under recommendation 2, second paragraph.
Thank you. Noted by Professor Skelton.
Yep.
Our ability to achieve the programme set out in your recommendations is dependent on a single hearing pathway being available to council. We will need your assistance with this.
Yeah, that's different than getting $10 million.
Good luck. Well, we could have just asked for $10 million. This is a nicer way of doing it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'd missed that. You want to... I'm sorry, I'd missed that. I don't know why.
So, Kate,
Were you asking for money, or were you?
I don't know. I'm not asking the staff what help that might be.
Okay.
It might be seen as being necessary. I gave an example, and maybe it was a bad example.
So that's what the letter meant. Do you, Gwyneth? Do you have anything else to say there?
I was just going to add there is ongoing conversations with MFE in terms of ways they might be able to assist us. It's not necessarily directly with the minister.
Okay.
For instance, setting up, getting the right people for a hearing panel or the like. So we are having those conversations at sort of officer level. That's all I was going to add to that.
Thank you.
And you say you have talked with the minister 2 weekends ago, and there was a willingness for me to pick up the phone if we have some issues that we need resolved. Yep.
Mine's not on the asking for help, if Gary's is.
Yep. No, mine's
okay,
not.
Okay, cool.
Oh, sorry,
good.
Gary, I haven't seen you.
Mine's on just remembering that council, it's in the letter and it refers to what our recommendations, which we did move, but we agreed to a number of key principles that should inform the work. And B of that was water allocation should be based on existing water use, not paper allocation. And just noting that that isn't really what the Minister asked us to proceed. He said that we should be proceeding looking at allocation based on average use, and that's quite different to our recommender.
Would you like to comment, Gwyneth? Or Peter?
I'm struggling to remember whether the Minister actually did say that in his recommendations to us. What he asked us to do was get in place a fit-for-purpose planning framework, and within that, and as a first step, get in place an interim framework that will deal with the deemed permits and any other permits that come up for renewal in that sort of five-year period. I don't think he said to us that he went no further than recommend that it be a short-term consent framework if we're going into that space. And the conversations that I've had since then, certainly the door's wide open for us to decide how we go about that. And us, I'm talking about the council.
Scott, I just just wanted to talk about that publicly because it is something that a number of people have raised back to us. So, that's the understanding that you've got, and that is what our recommendations are, and they're unchanged. Yep.
Hang on, Gary, and then do you want to say something there or not?
Oh, I was just going to say, I wonder if where the average use came in, as we had a point in our paper that came to the extraordinary meeting that talked about a way of determining what the use would be, which was talked about average use.
Yeah.
But under our principles, it said
but
this.
But it wasn't inside the principles. It was just a part of the discussion in the paper.
Okay. Clarification. Gary, then Michael.
So just acknowledging conflicts again, but that exact issue was the one I was going to raise because there is a lot of concern being raised to me and also from my background associated with catchments. I actually have real concern around that message being given to the Minister at that point. So the Minister hasn't said, there's been suggestions around some detail that could be there, but as Peter has just acknowledged, that the Minister hasn't gone to that extent. It is Council potentially looking to make some progress on that, but we must be mindful that there isn't a complete picture to back that position. In some catchments, some are quite advanced in their thinking, and that actually overrides where some catchments thought they would be, and they are actually aiming towards what would be a far better environmental outcome for the positioning of their deemed permits and which ones get renewed and which ones don't. And that could actually have a detracting outcome as opposed to an environmentally bettering outcome. So I would absolutely caution councillors around going to that level now. It will step inside some existing positions that were already thought to be getting to an end outcome, and it will potentially affect some good possible other outcomes that are yet to be found.
Right, I'm going to interfere procedurally. This was something that we agreed at the last meeting. That council agreed a number of key principles that should inform this work was part of the motion that we passed at the last meeting. I can't change that in the letter to the Minister.
Well, I am urging you on behalf of community.
You may well be, darling, but I can't do anything about it because this is a letter to the Minister. This letter says what we did at the last meeting when you had to pull yourself back from the chair. That's what we voted on. I'm reporting to him what we voted on.
And can I just make the statement then that we are making an incredibly disappointing decision at that point, and community that are quite advanced
in some positions will be very disappointed at that, and it will be not achieving what the minister is trying to achieve and what communities are trying to achieve. And I would urge council to revisit that decision if it can.
Kevin?
Could we have clarity that, because that is actually not my recollection, because we were talking about averages over 5 years of what allocation that was taken. So I just wonder if we could have the point.
I'll give you absolute clarity without my filling round there, but I know this off by heart. It's in the paper that was before us. If you go back to the minutes of that meeting, you'll see those 4 points right there. 10 of the 12 people voted in favour of that. This letter is a report to the minister saying, the stem says, council agreed a number of key principles that should inform this work. You are going to otherwise have to pull back right now and say, we'll rewrite this and have another meeting to replace the meeting we had on the 27th of November. I want to check that that councillors really want to do that, because I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen if that happens.
I had a vague recollection, and you will correct me, I'm sure, that when that arose at the meeting, a question was asked about whether it was averages or averages for the last 5 years or whether it was minimums or whatever it was, and that there was a...
Different point, sorry.
Oh, okay, fine.
There was a discussion about averages. There was a discovery about averages over 5 years. There was a discovery of how difficult that is to do, but that is not this, and I'm really sticking to the procedure here.
No, that's fine. I just thought that it had been clarified by staff in a way that wasn't necessarily exactly what the wording would have meant to some people. So,
people, why I'm adamant about procedure is not adamant necessarily about the argument, Gary, but it is a waste of time if we have a meeting, we make a decision, we then set up to write the report to the minister and meet all the timelines asked of us, which we're trying to do, and suddenly somebody wants to relitigate what we agreed upon at a previous meeting. That way, people, I don't see us advancing anywhere this year to do things if we relitigate every meeting. That's why I'm sticking by this. And if you want to desist from the chair, you can move a motion to have me removed from the chair. You have that right. Hilary?
Moving right along,
good.
Madam Chair.
Coward.
Are we talking about the things that also include the communications and engagement plan here?
No.
Is that part of this motion?
We're doing it point by point, which is the first of all... Oh, sorry.
So not the communications and engagement plan at this point?
At this point, we're looking at the letter. So it goes back to the thematic.
Right.
Recommendation one. Recommendation one, we received the report and approved the draft letter for the Minister for the Environment. I'm not going to move it one by one, but any more questions on that? No.
Sorry, I haven't...
Yep. Yep. Go for it. Oh, sorry, love. Didn't see that.
If you go back to the minutes of the last meeting,
yep,
you'll see that we resolved a number of things, and they include notes that it was agreed that 13B water allocation should be based upon existing water use, not paper allocation, which is fine. What we didn't do, and what we can install, is how we were going to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. And so we still haven't got there.
No.
And so, Gary, that might be sort of a solution to this. We haven't got to the stage of how are we going to do it, which is why, if you remember rightly, I requested that paper about, okay, now we've got to this, how are you going to process this consent? And I think we've got that paper. Is it somewhere later on the agenda today, isn't it? So we'll get to that stage. I think it's important to deal with the averages issue as well. I have in front of me the letter from, and I always carry this now, it's sort of like Holy Writ.
It's a bit of a
David
worry.
David Parker's, well, it's a very important letter from David Parker, and because it's the expectations that he has of us. And it says in here on page 2, and I note the terminology, rollover of deemed permits, Gary. So he was clearly saying, I expect you to roll it over. Just like Professor Skelton did, he said, I'm looking at the fact I want to put out this date. He's saying, for the time reasons that Marion outlined, no, we can't do that at the time. Your problem, you sort it out. But the expectation is that those permits simply be rolled over. And that's the terminology the minister uses in his letter. So I'm imagining, and this is Marion, if you, I'm imagining that when we get to the detail about how we're going to do this, that's when we have this discussion.
Can we bring in Gwyneth?
Yes. Is that right, Gwyneth?
The 7th of January workshop is where we talk about the detail of the plan change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So we also, I just wanted to say something else, and put this on the record. We're recording with the minister, so the next time we talk to him, I think, is April, when we give him a report. And I imagine that this is an ongoing dialogue that we have with the minister or the minister's office about how we're doing this. I think, Marion, it'd be really useful to get some feedback to that process.
Yep.
And I'd love for us to invite the minister to come here in the interim and talk with us about the process, and we could explain it together. It comes down to Otago a lot. It'd be great to have him at this meeting. It's the one factor we're missing.
Okay, I'm perfectly happy to convey that to
you. So I'd like to add to the letter an invitation, Marion, for him to come and discuss progress with us at a meeting that we can specially constitute for that purpose.
So we could add that at the very end of the letter. In conclusion, I welcome the clear framework you've set for us. The Otago Regional Council, we're committed to continue working with the community every step of the way. No, the one that goes as further reported. As requested, we'll provide you with 6 monthly updates until the end of the 2025. Maybe you could see it to being in attendance with us when we submit to you the 30th of April, our first report.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Can you fit that in?
We would welcome you.
We'd welcome him, yep.
In fact, we'd
all right.
Fix the date.
Now, did I just fix... not necessarily. Did I just get through everybody on that question of the letter? And then it's going to be signed by me, and then we're at the next part, which is the note, the six-monthly reports. People are relatively happy about that. No questions to rise. The attached community engagement plan, which is on page...
Which is what I want.
Yeah, I thought you did. I'm just coming to it. Which is on page 9 of 15, or 68 of 108. Hilary.
That plan, which is halfway through by now, sort of.
Yeah.
I think when it says your say online consultation, it should make it clear that this was a... it should have probably attached to it somewhere what it was. It wasn't really an online consultation. It was fill in the gaps. We had comments, some of us, about that actual format of that. So it wasn't sort of, what do you think of this, or have you got anything to say? It said, do you like A or B? So I think it should be attached.
Okay.
And it says, so when it says online consultation, it says we asked them these questions, because that would make it clearer that that didn't actually give a very easy way for people to actually give some good feedback, in my view.
So you want to attach the plan that was set out, we attach it to behind the tactics and approach. It's the Your Say online consultation plan on proposed water permits plan. We attach it there.
As per the questionnaire.
As attached.
Attached.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
Any other comments on the communications plan? Any other questions on it?
Yes. I think we've got to be very careful how we handle this. I'm worried about the consultation process that we're doing through this online methodology. And I'm not sure that we're talking to quite enough groups about trying to get some input in beforehand. I think we need to extend our range of stakeholders and get their input almost freely, Marion, rather than constrained by... I'd really like to get the... So we've got a lot of stakeholder groups we talk about continually. Is it possible to get their feedback before the 7th of January to give us some overview and some detail as to the kind of issues that they consider that we might be addressing?
I think it's really... It could, because at one stage it says ORC will also consult with iwi district councils and the community can give their input online. I think that that's really up to every one of us in this room as councillors to get out there. I mean, that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm going out to different groups in that area to just... I'm actually writing to people, contacting them, they're contacting me, and I'm going out to listen to them.
Are we engaging with all our stakeholders on this? Have we sent them... Gwyneth, have we done that?
Just for clarification, all our stakeholders?
All right. Everybody we know, basically, that we've managed to gather. I mean, it's an issue that we'll address
so
with the working party.
My understanding is that we've, I guess, advertised the online consultation we've got through our usual channels. Yeah?
Yes, and we've had direct engagement, haven't we, with the stakeholders that we've been engaging with on these matters.
I mean, I think you were at the MRG meeting. We've had discussions as part of our regular affected parties catch-ups.
You've got a list, actually, on page 9. You've got deemed permit holders and water permits users, iwi partner, the Ministry for the Environment, statutory stakeholders, territorial authorities, catchment groups, industry, ORC, Otago's rural community, and the wider Otago community.
That's right. So I'm just making sure that we have a communication network that's going out to those people.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Are you two answering that question?
No.
Can you just say? Can we just get through this question?
That's on the same question, though.
Yeah. It's on the same question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Go for it.
So where we say catchment groups, and we're asking, we're making contact with Jeff Crutchley from the Maniototo, is he actually getting a hold of the Lokes and Noslam and all the other catchment groups, is he? Or is he specifically just doing the Maniototo catchment group?
Because it's the water permits plan, and isn't in Noslam, is it?
Well...
There's no deemed permits.
There's no deemed permits over there?
No. So
it's normally money here, Kia.
Okay. Maybe I need to... Got us go.
Yeah. Okay. I just wonder if we can just broad brush... say what we've done, because clearly people aren't understanding. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have engaged with all of the key stakeholders that we engage with on a regular basis. We have had information go out in both our Waterlines publication and our on-stream publication, which covers a range of people across the region, large numbers of people across the region. We've had Your Say. We had a media advisory for Your Say, so that went to... general population. We have talked about this in any other forum where we've had an opportunity to do so. I think there's been some contact with industry. We're working on a short time frame, but we're satisfied that those people who need to know and want to know have been informed and have the option of giving us their feedback either through direct contact or through the survey. So that's what happened so far.
Gretchen, followed by Gary.
Just a question then, so everyone's clear, that we're in the formal consultation phase, which means we're the people, the regulators, the people can...
We're not yet. We're not until we notify.
Step before.
So
when we notify...
Pre-consultation, effectively.
What's the state... Just so we all understand, what the status of that is, and as we move forward, perhaps our roles in that might change slightly, just because if we're working with submitters or shaping people's views, that... You know, bringing them together and assisting people or whatever, what our role should be as governors and those that are then considering a plan change.
Understand.
I think that's important.
Peter, like to comment, then after Gary.
This this phase is the nice to do but not essential phase of consultation.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we, whether we were building a whole new plan, which we will be doing shortly, or a very small plan change like this one, albeit important, you try and gather up as much information from the community about their likes and dislikes as you can, and you figure out then what might work, what won't work, and you build on that. The survey was designed to be the quickest and fastest and simplest way we could get that information in a very short time in a period of the year when people have got a thousand other things that they want to be doing as well. They don't want to be sitting there filling in these surveys. So the idea of the councillors plus the staff all out there in the community listening to people plus the survey, we bring all of that back on the 7th.
Mm.
And we will report back on the 7th what reactions we got.
Mm.
Because
and we will too.
Because the situation set up that itself it summarises. That's quite a good way of doing it. So we can give you the demographic of who we got responses from.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell you what they thought. That then informs the conversation that you will have on the 7th around what options there might be to satisfy what the Minister's asking us to do and our statutory obligations.
Mm.
Once we get past that stage and we've drafted the plan change, it then goes out for the formal consultation. And we are tying that down to the tightest period possible, because otherwise we will not hit the notification date. And then there's further consultation happens through submission, so people formally engage in the process at that point.
Yeah.
This is a bit unusual, but it's a very truncated time frame, and we've tried to cater for the three core groups through this. And what we're in at the moment is the sort of, as I said before, the nice to have, but good to do at the front. But we're not required to do this. As a council, we can simply have done a plan change, done the formal consultation, and put it out and notified it. We've taken a step back from that, and we've tried to engage with the community. Many of the community members have known this was coming because they had conversations with Peter Skelton. So they knew something was in the wind.
Yeah.
And so I don't think this is brand new and frightening. It's really just a case of all of a sudden there's going to be some regulation, and we've got to deal with that.
Thank you. Gary.
Thank you. Just around the survey and how you engage it, I mean, to get the best out of this critical short period of time to inform the decision-making, what you immediately see in the survey and what has been certainly communicated to me is that there's some very directive-type questions that are heading and multi-choice answers. And I mean, can we broaden the survey that what community and anybody can provide something that is outside of the realms of the survey, so they can provide feedback written that we will accept and we will promise to them that we will use, but it's not on the format of the survey because it's a very defined topic.
Yep, so can I just say that with the survey, we were trying to get the right balance of being able to get as much information, being able to analyse it, still have some level of Christmas for the staff and come back to you on the 7th of January. So we have given an option in the survey, which is an open comment box. You are free to put the open comment box at the bottom and write that is a free text one. It's not all multiple choice. And the reason we put that there is to give some balance between providing people the opportunity to have open text, but not all being open text and just not physically being able to do all the analysis on all the open text before January 7th.
Thank you. Hilary, and then Michael. Did you have it? You had, yeah, okay. Yes.
I wasn't anything about this in here.
Yeah.
It's a printing. There was the printing.
There was an insert.
It was a letter, yeah, that went. It was a one page.
Yeah.
Inside that.
Probably got it eaten by my post box then.
Okay.
I mean, it arrived while I was away last week, so yeah.
Okay.
There was something in here about the...
Yeah.
Michael?
So, just to clarify this, we're not going to be determining any detail around water allocation, for example, until the 7th of January.
That's right.
So how we determine what water allocation is and what you've been using in the last past is a decision we'll make at that workshop. Is that correct?
No, we don't make decisions at workshop.
That's right. You can't make a decision at a workshop.
No, but you know what I mean.
You will have the discussion about the options on the 7th of January, yes.
Right. Okay, and that seriously will solve a lot of consciences out there, because there's this question about, oh, you've already decided, and of course we haven't.
No. Okay. Oh, sorry, Andrew. God, I nearly missed you.
Just bear with me. I want to go back to your letter to
yes.
the minister.
Yep.
And go back to Councillor Callagher's point. And just rereading the principles we've agreed to, it essentially says the number of key principles that should inform the work. That's not
yep.
shall, should.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And also when you look down the paragraph underneath those key principles, it just talks about the conversation we've just had about the preliminary discussion that we're having with the stakeholders that will help develop the policy that will eventually be notified by this council. So I feel comfortable in just trying to put Councillor Callagher's mind at ease. There's a number of steps that
yep.
not only we're involved in, but the stakeholders are involved in before we get to notification. So I think that allows us to develop appropriate policy to be notified, hopefully in February now, we're talking. So I just want to share that with you, Councillor Callagher.
Thanks, Andrew. Okay, I won't go backwards again. If I'm got past the letter and the next thing that we had... 6 monthly reports, the attached community engagement plan. We agree that we're having a workshop for the 7th of January. There's no big argument about that.
It's
I bet there will be for the next one. Agrees that this workshop should be for councillor and staff only. Any comments? Hilary, followed by Kevin.
I think, I don't think that we should be, especially in light... hearing Councillor Laws suggest that that's the time we'll be making a decision, which of course he knows we won't, but that's the feeling we might end up feeling like we have actually come to some conclusion about what we're doing, and that's the words used by somebody who's accurate with words, and so I'm concerned that if that is not a public meeting, that we will have effectively at the end of that workshop made our minds up in some way or something about what we do next, that we will have achieved some sort of resolution at least in our minds. We won't technically have, because in a workshop we don't, but for that reason I think the workshop should be public, and if Councillor Deaker was here with me, he was saying the same thing.
You don't know that?
At the last meeting he was out loud saying... You would have heard him, some of you, that that workshop should be public. I'm not saying what he would have said, I'm saying what he did say at the last meeting.
Hang on, I'm going Kevin, then Brian. Kevin, Brian, then Michael.
We're about to enter the stage with what are some of the biggest decisions that will be made within Otago. We are at a stage where we are in catch-up mode with a heck of a lot of pressure on us. And I think there is a compromise that we can make. I really do appreciate the report that the staff's given and their reasons behind everything, and I agree wholeheartedly with what they've said. But I want to make a wee addition to it, and that would be that we do have a public forum before the start of a staff and councillor-only workshop. So I'm saying let the people come, because there are councillors that are... You know, probably not as familiar as I am with the way water people work and how they've used things. So if we could have a public forum beforehand.
Genius.
And then adjourn to our closed workshop.
When Kevin, Brian, then Michael.
Yeah, I think we should do as much as we possibly can in public. I don't have any problem with it. So I'd like to just have an explanation from the CEO or whatever, just... reminding why it's proposed to have this not in public session.
Well, can I reply? Because I've done a hell of a lot of thinking about this.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
I'll just have a go and I'll be backed up or contradicted by...
Mm-hmm.
This is potentially quite a litigious area. And you are giving to some people, the people who can afford the time to come down here to watch you do the arguments that they may also use in litigation against you later on. And you're opening up yourself with all your ideas and all your thoughts and your words get taken, sometimes out of context, and used against you in a law court. Because this is about law and hearings. I'm quite interested in Kevin's idea of having a pre-workshop, but I don't want to have the staff quoted later in the Environment Court against themselves for thinking aloud in a very open session as what you do in workshops. That's what worries me. Is that a fair enough description, Peter?
Yes, it is. We're hoping that these workshops are really free and frank exchanges of ideas. But the moment you know that there's someone sitting
in the room,
seats over here, I know from experience the staff will close down and they might answer your questions yes or no, but you won't get the reasoning that sits behind it. Because I've experienced exactly what you're talking about, Madam Chair, where you find yourself being misquoted in evidence and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
It's a very difficult position. Equally, and I picked this up because I spent the last 5-odd years working with Peter Skelton and David Cagle and a number of others at ECAT. They would share their ideas with us in a private situation where they might not have been prepared to do it had the public been present. Now, I like the councillor's idea about the workshop.
Pre-workshop.
And a forum. If the workshop followed the council meeting, then the forum would simply be part of the council meeting, which it is already anyway. They come along and you might extend the time for people from 20 minutes to half an hour. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. And then the workshop follows, so they're not even having to be kicked out of the room for the workshop. But I totally agree, it's not a bad way of letting people vent their spleens, if you like. Give you more
or give their perspective.
Give us some very good ideas.
Thank you. I've lost my... I went Kevin, Brian, Michael. Yes?
I think Kevin should make a resolution of that and invite stakeholders and interested parties to give a 10-minute presentation. Half an hour is way too much. We just really want to get their basic principles and overview and input into it. And I could think of, off the top of my head, probably about 6 or 7 groups that would... And then it also allows us to probe them through questioning and things like that, which I think is critical, us to be able to question them on the views that they're putting forward, and then be able to ask technical stuff, for example, of a stakeholder group. How will this work for you? What are your particular concerns? We'll be able to have that, and that will inform our workshop. So I think Kevin, make the motion of it. Can I say, though, when you talk about staff being misquoted, hearsay evidence, you should know your law. Hearsay evidence is no evidence. So you could not, in an environment court, use a conversation that you had.
It's not hearsay, you do.
It's
recorded.
It's hearsay evidence.
It's recorded.
I'm
sorry,
it won't
Michael.
Be recorded here.
It will be.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I think you've got your legal process wrong.
No, I haven't.
Doesn't matter. But I think the basic principle is much more important to me. I will vote against all workshops in private so that you know for the next 3 years. If you're going to be talking about open, transparent government, then we are the practical components of that. So I just want you to know this is too important not for us to take the community into confidence all the time with us. If we're going to talk about walking alongside them, then we have to walk the walk. So
appreciate.
I just want you to
thank
know
you, Michael.
That.
I've got Brian, then Gretchen. But before that, you had some nervousness about workshops.
Look,
pre-workshops.
All I was really going to say is I just think it's really important to recognise the point at the process that we're in. We are not... It's not a hearing. We're not in a process where we're asking people to come along and present their case. We are at very early pre-consultation. And the risk, I guess, in having the public forum is that you have untested points of view that then shape the plan change that you build. So the time for that testing is post-notification through the hearing process. And all I'm saying to you is just think about
the risk that might present itself. My suggestion would be that the time for a public forum is when the plan change comes to the next council meeting on the 27th?
Something like that.
Something like
January.
And then it's out in public, and the public can come then and inform you through a public forum if they have an issue. And then you can decide through that process, which is open and transparent. But I think it's a bit cart before horse. If you haven't heard from the staff, you hear from the public. We haven't had the time to consider and work through it with you or hear your points of view. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay, my speakers are Brian, Gretchen, Kate.
I'll make it brief. I actually agree with what the CEO has just said. I think we should just do as originally proposed, have a workshop in confidence. It seems to me if we start having this public forum, then we need to follow a proper process in terms of it would have to be appropriately advertised and everybody, Joe Average, not just various interest groups, even if, you know, it's not just about deemed permit holders, it's about the community as well. And all these people, you know, on the 7th of January in the middle of Christmas, and, you know, I'm starting to get a bad feel about it. We need to do proper process, do our thinking based on the online survey, and then do a proper process when we've got something that's considered. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got Gretchen. Did I see your hand, Hilary?
You had said me, but...
Yeah, Gretchen, then Kate, then Hilary.
Thank you. Agree with what Councillor Scott said, and the reason for that is that we're trying to think about getting the best information from wide community on this issue to inform the plan change, and actually totally agree, 7th of January, to ask people to come along and influence us, which is really what we're doing. That's not really fair, and it will be a large number of people that will want to do that. That's good. They'll be individuals, they'll be groups, they'll be various community, whatever, groupings. That's all fine, but then you start to ask yourself, well, shouldn't we have done a consultation, informal consultation process then that gathered up all of that? And then you get back to the communications thing and is online best, or should we have been offering them forums to come and speak to us? If, you know, that's really where we should have been doing it, if we felt that we weren't harvesting the best information out of the community, and we should be trusting our staff, I think, to be managing that process for us and bringing the best information back to us through that process, which I thought is what we were doing. And then, yeah, there's the chance then later on to do it more formally and everyone to have a say. So I believe that, that we should have a public excluded workshop, and we should give everyone a fair chance to be involved in that informal process, and that's not asking them to come along on the 7th of Jan.
Thank you, Gretchen. Kate, followed by Hilary.
Sorry, I've still got questions. I'm sorry, I'm not entering into debate, and I just want to make sure that I think
that's
we've
right,
had some
that's
debate.
Okay.
Sorry. The first question I've got, Sarah, is the suggestion you made is if the council wanted to make any changes at that later date, actually it would put out the whole plan change. So it would be fraught, wouldn't it? Or is that plan change going to come in a report with options that will provide some flexibility? Because I'm not sure what the point of coming along in that meeting would be, because I imagine I would have thought you were... suggestion would be that at that point we can't change the plan change. It has to go through a process.
No, because it would be you wouldn't have made any decisions at that point. The plan change would be coming to you for a decision.
That's what I mean.
Yes,
yeah.
And so as a consequence of that, just as you make new resolutions on other papers, you could do the same through the plan change process if you felt that there was a change required as a result of anything you heard at a public forum on the day that you make the decision.
And I just want to go into the survey, and these are questions that I have shared with my colleagues, but I just want to check, without having a name on the survey, How are you going to... and it's maybe a question for you, Gwyneth, sorry. I'm not quite sure. How are we going to know if we've reached into every catchment and or into, or FMU I should probably put, or what the response may mean? I understand that you have to put an answer, so you can't put... just choose not to answer a question, which I think in itself is fraught. So if I'm in a catchment that has a minimum flow, some of the questions make more sense than if it's a catchment that doesn't have a minimum flow. If you're an angler on that river, you'd have a different response depending on that. And without identifying those things, I don't know how we do that. Can someone explain how we get that report back?
I can answer part of it, but not the whole lot. What I would say is, I guess, if you have issues with the questions above, you can address that in the open text box. So I'd be addressing that through your commentary in the open text box. But I haven't been involved in the intricacies of the survey.
So if I understood, we did ask in terms of potential stakeholder groups or other, but is your question, did we ask by geography where they are?
Yeah, so my understanding, without putting a name on it, and some people may want to put their names on it, I suppose you're saying that they put that in their box.
They want to, if they want to put it in the box, they want us to give them, contact them or give them feedback or something, then I'd put that in the open text box.
Okay. Yeah. But so if that data isn't being asked for, how do we know that we've got a response from the Tairu catchment or from the Manuhere catchment? I'm finding it hard to understand to ensure that we've got that outreach and we can have some confidence that they understood that question. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the understanding of the question. That would be something that they'd have to obviously contact us if they were not understanding the question in the survey. But in terms of geographic spread of answers, I think that's a fair feedback. I don't think we've asked in the survey where they're physically located. Some of them won't be a physical location, though. They'll be like an industry group or, I don't know, there could be representation.
But. So my question is, I'm an angler who's passionate about the Tairi.
Yep.
There is a minimum flow and there is, a residual flow. I get confused with those two differences. Or some parts have residual flow. That question makes sense. If I'm in an area without those, if I'm a keen angler wanting to comment on an area that doesn't have that, to ask about that, is the intent to impose that as part of the plan change or is it not? And that's where I get confused.
It's not to impose anything at this point because we haven't got... We're just trying to create options to come for discussion on the 7th of January. Yeah? So the survey was not to impose any preconceived idea of what the plan change would be, rather to help us inform what options we should put on the table on the 7th of January for council to discuss.
Is that all right, Kate? Do you understand? You got there?
I understand that there isn't an answer, I think is the...
Hey, Hilary?
Two things. First is a question. Does that mean that we will be presented not on the 7th of January, because that will be a general discussion and whatever it is, a workshop is, but when it does come to council, that options will be offered and that there's a reasonable expectation that we might have one that implies rollover.
Us?
On the 7th.
We can't get past that stage on the 7th because there won't be any decisions being made on the 7th.
No. Decisions made, but I'm hoping that the workshop will recommend to the staff this is an option to go and draft.
I don't think the workshop can recommend anything. It can't do anything like that. That's not what a workshop does.
Well, no, but just as we had the conversation today in the annual plan workshop, where you did give us some direction, that's exactly what would be...
That's what troubles me about having a workshop behind closed doors particularly, is that we pretend that it isn't a decision, but it is. And if you recommend to staff that they go away and do something and we will have got beyond something, then what the public sees as one option that's been developed because they've had a sense of direction from
the
staff...
Okay, Hilary, I'm going to cut across because I can see the argument.
Yeah.
Let me just take what a decision is at council. A decision at council is to either accept or reject the paper put up by staff. If they put up a paper with only one role, one way in it, and we didn't like it, we could the decision we make, which is not a decision made in the working party, is to reject that paper.
And the question I asked, if we go back to that, which I possibly didn't make clear enough, was will there be more than one option presented to that council meeting, including an option that effectively is a rollover of water permits? And that was what I asked, whether there'd be more than one option.
And then what I heard Peter say was he didn't think no, but then the comment I'll make, and Peter may well disagree with this, is that if at a working party we came through and it's us and we're arguing, and we came through and we were kind of split 6-6, I would hope both things were put up. If we came through and said, no, we finally see there's only one way forward, then I would hope that only one way forward came forward. That is what we can't predetermine here what we will reach when we get into the working party.
Because we can't reach anything when we get into the working party is the point
you,
I'm
making. No, you can reach a decision whether you put up 1, 2, 3, or 500 recommendations.
We can't reach a decision is what I understand. But
you can reach a decision about how many recommendations you put up on which you make the decision.
You are playing
with games in the meaning
of
the
I'm
word decision.
Hillary. No, I'm trying to understand what a workshop can actually do, and I understood that it didn't decide anything.
Yes, it does decide how a paper or a, what's that thing we were doing there before, long-term plan, what it will get, what it will contain inside it. And that containment may be 1, 2, 5 or how many decisions to be put before the council to make.
Moral suasion. So it provides a guideline, and then it provides a guideline, and then those recommendations. But it can't make decisions, but it can certainly give staff a clear direction. Marion, I've got a question.
No, just before you do, love, because Andrew is busting, and then it's.
That was my question. My other part of what I wanted to say.
Can we just hold off your other part for a minute? Because I think Andrew wants to fix up that bit.
No, absolutely, and I'm only trying to help. But at the moment, we've adopted some principles, some of the paper here, and the way I see the workshop is that's fleshing out those principles. It's probably adding a bit of meat to the bone, so to speak, and then ultimately they're going to fall into some options further down the track. But that's what I see. It's a bit like baking the cake, getting the ingredients. We're not doing the baking, but we're getting the ingredients, I suppose, to be able to one day do the baking, which will be sometime in the end of
January. We've decided it's a chocolate cake at the end of it.
So anything you like.
Okay, Hillary, then followed by Gary. Did you have another part of this?
Yes, sorry. The other part is that it seems to me that although we're saying this is just pre-consultation, and I can see the point in this being sort of it isn't moving forward on it totally, but by the time we get to that 22nd of January or something, it will be fairly much a take it or leave it, and we do have to do something, and we have got this time frame, and so it really will be. We haven't got lots of choices here, and we haven't, so that it isn't a... and if it's based on, for example, that questionnaire, and we get back feedback that says something like, 80% of people answered such and such to the questionnaire, and we're not even sure who they are or whether they're all from the Tairi catchment or whatever. We don't know. When we say stakeholders, the people who are going to lose their livelihood and kill themselves potentially are the permit holders, not the iwi or fish and game, or the people who we're calling stakeholders and who we've bothered to personally get in touch with and things. The people who we've sent a questionnaire out to people, they're the people who really their livelihoods are
Thank you,
important.
Hillary. I'm Gary and then Gretchen, and then I'm going to just say, is somebody willing for this motion to be put? And I know you want to move an amendment. I'm well aware of that. Gary.
Just to reinforce Councillor Malcolm's proposal around a public forum, it's an incredibly important topic. We're an incredibly important or short time frame. It is important for all of community. If we're going to base some directive on that survey as the only consultation we've had in the lead-up to the direction we might look at on the 7th, to be able to have those interest groups that, even though the timing is appalling, to have them to come along and have their say to assist us will help in this process being seamless. And the minister, would the minister be accepting of what we're volunteering? If we went to the minister and said we're giving the community the opportunity to come along on the 7th and help with this decision, would the minister prefer that or prefer not to hear from the community? And I think the minister would be saying, listen to the community. So,
no, Nick, yes. Gretchen, did you want to say something before we do?
Yeah, really quickly, workshop, we're aiming to produce a proposed plan change, so we're aiming to produce a proposal, and in doing so we're then giving the community clarity so that they can submit on that proposal, so we actually have to form the proposal and they can then tell us whether they like it or don't like it, but that's what we're aiming to do. In the workshop we can go down that pathway towards making a proposal.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that there is an amendment to clause 7 coming forward. Is that correct? So the clause 1, if you go back to your motion, receives, approves, agrees, agrees that this workshop should be councillor and staff only. Do you want to move an amendment to that?
Madam Chair, first I'd like to note the press has left the arena and with the one of our biggest decisions ever to be made, probably. I just wanted to note that.
I think there's a hell of a lot of big decisions coming.
Like to make a slight amendment I believe in our workshop, when we do close our workshop with Peter and his team and the like, I think we will have a very strong end, and I agree wholeheartedly with what they are recommending. But I'd like to make an amendment that we invite stakeholders to make a brief submission on the proposed water plan change prior to our council workshop on the 7th of January 2020.
You've got that.
Yes.
But can you just say prior to the workshop, which will be councillor and staff only?
Yes.
Yeah,
yep,
okay.
Yep,
so
yes.
You're still having the closed workshop with an open meeting prior to it.
I'll second that.
Correct.
Moved and seconded. That was seconded by Michael. It was moved by Kevin. I'll take the amendment first. That is the amendment to Clause 7. Would you like to reread it, please, dear?
Yes, that would be invite stakeholders to make a brief submission on the proposed water plan change prior to the public excluded workshop on 7 January 2020.
People happy with the wording? I move. I put the amendment. All those in...
You can speak.
Oh, sorry, Carmen.
Thank you. I think what we should do, because time is precious and they've come for the 7th, we know that there's a lot riding. Could we make it more than, say, 5 minutes? Could they have a 10, 15, 20-minute presentation?
We didn't specify time in that, did we?
But you know,
no, we didn't specify time.
As long as we're flexible.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to add in there up to a 10-minute briefing.
From each person?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Madam Chair, can I speak to the motion?
Sorry.
Yes, can I just clarify
the motion.
I've got it all clear? Okay. Yes, you can speak to the motion.
I would say that this is a very reasonable compromise for us all, to be perfectly honest with you. We have had clarified that on the 7th of January at our workshop, we are effectively going to give instructions to staff to draw up a plan. And prior to drawing up that plan, I will be better informed if I listen to all of the groups who will be informed, whether they're forest and bird, fish and game, irrigators, federated farmers, whatever. It will inform me. I do not want one piece of advice being staff. I want to hear the advice and input, because I represent all of the Otago region and those groups are representative of the region in toto. Secondly, can I just point out, and this is to new councillors in particular, and to contradict Gretchen, when we make a plan change, we don't hear the submissions. That is critically important to understand. We leave that to a commissioner to receive those submissions. So our plan change has got to be as good as it can be, representing the collective view of us all around this table.
So that makes it critical that we make an informed decision. And the more information we have, and the more disparate viewpoints, the better questions we will ask of staff, and the better decision we will make.
Any further speakers to the amendment to Clause 7?
Just very briefly, I support the amendment on the basis of natural justice and fair process. It clearly gives all stakeholders an opportunity to make a presentation to us. So on those principles, I support it.
Any further points? Okay, I put the amendment. Could you read the amendment again, please?
Yes, invite stakeholders to make a brief submission up to 10 minutes per person on the proposed water plan change prior to the public excluded workshop on 7 January 2020.
All those in favour of that amendment, please vote aye.
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 And against?
Against.
Against.
Division.
Do you want a division? A division is called for. All those in favour of the motion, please raise a hand.
May I just read the names out, please?
Yep, thank you. Sorry, love. All do right. It that way. I'm sorry.
Councillor Wilson?
I'm standing back.
You're sitting back. Abstaining, thank you. Councillor Scott?
Against.
Councillor Robertson?
Against.
Councillor Noon?
In favour.
Councillor Malcolm?
In favour.
Councillor Laws?
In favour.
Councillor Kelleher?
In favour.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Hope?
In favour.
Councillor Hobbs?
Me?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm against.
Councillor Forbes is gone. Councillor Deaker's out. Councillor Calvert?
In favour.
That's 5-3.
Thank you. So I declare that amendment replaces paragraphs number 7. I now want to have a mover to move 1-7, which includes this new amendment.
Happy to do so.
Laws and Andrew, Michael and Andrew, sorry. Any discussion? All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? It's carried, noting that we had 2 withdrawals. Thank you. Come back to the table, people.